Mark chapter 1. The message today is the orthodoxy of demons. I want to read several passages. Pay attention to them because they are the things important. Often, bad things are said about good men and good things are said about bad men. And why would anyone ever speak about the orthodoxy of demons? And in case you might wonder, what does orthodoxy mean? It means straight thinking, correct thinking. It means one who is fundamental in what he believes and what he says about the Lord Jesus. And so I am telling you that a message on the orthodoxy of demons is a good message. And you listen to these verses and try to prove me wrong. So, first of all, in Mark chapter 1, verse 23, and straightway there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Verse 34, and he healed many that were sick with different diseases, and cast out many demons, and he permitted them not to speak, the demons, because they knew him. Now chapter 3. Verse 11. And the unclean spirits, whensoever they beheld him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he charged them much that they should not make him known. Now chapter 5. Verse 2. And when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man had strength to tame him. And he was always night and day in the tombs and in the mountains. And he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, torment me not. For he said unto him, come forth, thou unclean spirit, out of the man. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he said unto him, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now let's look at James chapter 2. Look at verse 19. You believe that there is one God? You do well. The demons also believe and tremble. Now 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1. But the Spirit saith expressly that in later times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. And now, let's read in Revelation 12. Verse 3. And there was seen another sign in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems. And his tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them down to earth, and so forth, and so forth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the things that you tell us in the Scripture. Let us know that we are aware of some things, but our God, thou dost tell us things more exactly. And we pray that we shall understand what we've read this morning, because all that we've read is truth. We pray that because of it, we shall understand when to listen to voices that we would think should not be listened to, and when we shall turn away from voices that we would think we should listen to. So help us by thy Spirit to understand, to have discernment, we pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we are here this morning. We are aware of the weather, how severe it's been, and yet, our God, you have spared us. We thank you, our God. And so for those who are in places of terrible danger and cold, we pray, our God, that in mercy you shall look upon them. And also our boys that are fighting, we pray that you shall remember them, our God, while trying to preserve their lives. We pray that they shall think about the salvation of their souls. So bless them. And our president and the decisions that he's to make, we pray, our God, that you shall remember them. We are aware of what influences work upon the hearts of men, for good and for ill. And so, our Father, may thy Spirit work for good, we pray. And now, illumine us this morning. Prepare the hearts of those that are listening, the lips of him who shall speak. And we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If I asked you this question, what answer would you honestly give? Had you rather listen for a discovery of who Jesus is, and what he should do when he comes into the world? Would you rather listen to the Apostle Peter, or would you rather listen to a demon when he speaks to the Lord Jesus? You say, the answer to that is easy. I would listen to the Apostle Peter. Who would want to listen to a demon? The message this morning is the orthodoxy of demons. And the orthodoxy means that they are straight when it comes to a correct interpretation of who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what he shall do in the future. You say, that's a strange thing to say, because you read us in 1 Timothy 4 about the doctrine of demons. And let me say this now. The word devil in the King James is really the word daimon, or daimonion, and it is demon. The word devil is diabolos, and that pertains to only one person, Satan. He is the devil. One is called a devil on an occasion, Judas in John 6. But when you read devils and so forth, it's the word demon, except that one time in John 6. And so I speak about the orthodoxy of demons. And yet the Bible speaks about the doctrines of demons. And so who would want to listen to the doctrine of demons? Let me give you this distinction. Whenever demons speak personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, they speak infallibly. You say, how can that be? Whenever demons speak directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, they speak infallibly. When they speak to you and me, they speak lies. They speak deception. They speak damnation. But when they speak to the Lord Jesus, they speak spontaneously. They speak what is known and what comes forth directly from their intelligence, because nobody knows the Lord Jesus better by personal experience than a demon. Tell me, when the heavens and the earth were created, how many of you were there? You say, of course we weren't there. Every demon that we read about in the New Testament was present when the Lord Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth. This is what it says in Job 38. God speaks about when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. And God is speaking about when he brought this universe into existence. And he speaks about the morning stars singing together and the sons of God shouting for joy. There was no human being there when that happened. But all the angelic beings of God were there. And now I have to explain to you and define who a demon is. A demon is no different from any other angel that God created, except for this. God, having created them holy, they fell, and from that time on, God speaks of them as demons. But there are only two kinds of beings. There are human beings and angelic beings. And these angelic beings are in various categories. When God created them at first, there were powers and principalities. There were thrones and dominions. These are all definitions of the same group of beings, angelic heavenly beings. Some of them are called seraphim. Some of them are called cherubim. And until that time, when sin entered the mind of Lucifer, the morning star, Satan, until it entered his heart, they were all holy, angelic beings. But when that happened, then those that were good angels became fallen angels, and then God gives them another name. But there are only two kinds of beings that are able to worship God intelligently in their spirits, and that is angelic beings and human beings. Now, all of God's creation, all of it can praise God, but not with intelligence, not with spirit, in spirit and in truth. Only human beings can do that, and only angelic beings can do that. And before man ever came upon the scene, God was being worshipped by all the hosts of heaven, all the angelic beings They were the ones that worshiped God. And the one who worshiped him that had the highest place in heaven was Lucifer, who is called the anointed cherub that covered. And this is what is so startling about Lucifer. It's this. He was created to protect the throne of God. Just like we pray, cover my defenseless head. He was one who was created to cover, to protect the throne of God from defilement, from intrusion. But what happened was this. Because of his exalted position, there was only one other position that was not his, and that was God. And when he said in his heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will be like the Most High, God said, thou shalt be cast down. And he was cast down. And that is when that Lucifer, the morning star, the anointed cherub that covered, that's when he became Satan, the devil, the dragon, the old serpent. That's when his name was changed. But he is still an angel, but a fallen angel. And had I read to you from Revelation chapter 12, you will discover that when Satan fell, the number that is mentioned that falls with him is 1/3 of the angels he brings down with him. Think of this glorious one. Here is one who is so glorious that he's next unto God in brilliance and exaltation. And when he says, I will be like the Most High God, he is able to persuade 1/3 of all the angelic beings in heaven to follow him. And what happens is that they are cast down with him. If you have ever read in the Bible about the number of angels, there are millions and millions and millions of angels. They're spoken of as 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, myriads of angels. And so think of all of these that Satan brought down with him. And these are fallen angels, and they are called demons in the New Testament. And so a demon is a supernatural being, but a fallen supernatural being. And they are given these descriptions. They are called unclean spirits. They are called lying spirits. And we have found that now that they have been cast out of heaven and they are on earth, they desire to enter the bodies of men. And when the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, ever so many times, among all the categories of those that he came to assist, there were those that were blind, and there were those that were lame, and there were those that were suffering bodily diseases. The Lord Jesus healed them that had physical needs, but also he cast out demons. And this is what I discovered ever so many years ago that was so startling, that these fallen demons are those that experientially can tell you about the Lord Jesus in a way that no human being can. Anything that human beings tell you about the Lord Jesus in a past eternity, they have to be told that by revelation. But all of these fallen spirits can tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ in a past eternity by experience, because they were there when he created this universe. For ever so long a time, they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. They had access to his presence. All of these beings know about the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that no human being can tell you about. Anything that even the prophet, the apostle Paul, tells you about the Lord Jesus. He had to be told that. Anything that John, the beloved apostle, tells you about the Lord Jesus, he has to be told about that. But all the things that these angelic beings tell you about the Lord Jesus, they know him by experience. Why? Because they knew him in heaven as the Word of God, as the Son of God, as the Beloved of God. They knew him in heaven that way. And when he came to earth, they recognized him, and those to whom he came recognized him not. John the Baptist says this, "There standeth one in the midst of you, whom you know not." But every time the Lord Jesus came near to these indwelt human beings by evil spirits, immediately they knew him. And what is so remarkable is this. Even though they would try to destroy ordinary human beings, when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, now a human being, God manifest in the flesh, it said they fell down and they worshiped him. Why? Because that is what they did in heaven before the Lord Jesus Christ became man. And they know that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And when he comes near them, they fall at his feet and worship him. I told you about the orthodoxy of demons. What happened in Isaiah 6? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to earth, listen to what they say concerning him. These are the titles that they give him. They fall down and worship him and they say, "We know you who you are, thou holy one of God." And what had they called him in heaven? Holy, holy, holy. What is God called in the Old Testament? The Holy One of Israel. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes upon the scene, what is he called? He is called the Holy One of God. They know about the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ask any modernist today about the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus, about the virgin birth, and they will laugh in your face. They will say, "He was an illegitimate son. He was one who was an ordinary man. He had sins like everyone else. He was a good man, but he was not sinless." And yet, the orthodoxy of the demons is this. They call the Lord Jesus Christ the Holy One of God. And ask all of the modern teachers that you have, even in this town, about, is Jesus the Son of God? Is he one who is to be worshipped with the Father? And they will laugh at you, and they will tell you, no, he is an ordinary man. But when the demons see him, they say, "You are the Son of God." They knew who he was, and they called him this, "Thou Son of the Most High God." They know exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, they knew what he came to do, and they know what their destiny is in the future. Because when the Lord Jesus came upon them, they acknowledged his strength and his superiority. They fell down and worshipped him, and they asked this question, "Are you come to torment us before the time?" Ask all of your teachers here in town if they believe in hell and if they believe in the eternal punishment of the wicked. And they will say, "Of course not. There is no such God as one who would have such a thing." And yet the Lord Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 25. He speaks about those who will not have Christ as the promised Messiah. Those goats on the left hand, and this is what they say, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then it says that those on his right hand shall go away unto eternal life, and those on his left hand shall go away unto eternal damnation, eternal fire. And when these fallen angelic beings, now called demons, when they see the Lord Jesus Christ, they are afraid because they know that their time is going to come. And they say, have you come to torment us before the time? Isn't that remarkable? They know it's not the time now to torment them. They know that they are going to be tormented in the future. And they say, have you come to torment us before the time? And so I challenge you, tell me anything that you have ever read in the Bible that a demon spoke to Christ that was unorthodox, that was in error, that was wrong, that you could not believe. But now I'm going to tell you something that you cannot believe and accept that the Apostle Peter said of Christ. All of us know in Matthew 16, when our Savior said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a wonderful thing. And the Lord Jesus congratulates him. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Here is a revelation from God as to who Jesus is. And Peter, you say Jesus is who? The Christ, the Son of the living God. When the demons were approached by the Lord Jesus, what did they say concerning him? We know you who you are, thou Son of God. And so what does Peter say the Lord Jesus is? The Son of God. What do demons say Jesus is? The Son of God. And I have read the passages that tell of the demons speaking to Christ, and they never say anything wrong. But in the same chapter in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus is now announcing, since Peter has spoken as to who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus said, now I have to be crucified. I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to be condemned by all the authorities, the priests, the elders, the leaders, and I have to be put to death, and I have to rise again the third day. And it says that Peter took him aside and rebuked him and said, Master, be it far from thee. This shall never be unto thee. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And so what did Peter say concerning Christ? He said, don't go to the cross. Don't suffer. Don't die for sinners. Now, tell me, what is our main orthodox teaching concerning the way that sinners get to heaven? You say, why? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose the third day according to the Scriptures. Why, of course. And what did Peter say when the Savior said, I have to go and die and rise the third day? He said, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never be unto thee. What does Peter say? You say, but he tries to do away with the cross. No demon, when he spoke of Christ, ever spoke about doing away with the cross. And also, no demon ever denied torment and future punishment for those that fall away from God, and some have no opportunity to return to God. But Peter speaks that which is erroneous. He is unorthodox in this instance. Why? Because, and this is what is so frightening, that the same heart that can be spoken to by the Father, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. At the same time, that heart can be approached and spoken to by Satan, the god of this world. And Satan was he who told Peter to tell Jesus not to go to the cross, not to be crucified. This be far from thee. Put it out of your mind. And the Lord Jesus recognizes Satan immediately, and he tells him, get thee hence, get away from me, because he knew the voice of Satan. So understand, if Satan speaks to you or any other man, he will speak lies concerning Christ. But when Satan or any demon speaks directly to the Lord Jesus, they always speak that which is orthodox, which is correct, which is scriptural, and they speak it by experience. And this is what it says in James chapter 2. It says, do you believe that there is one God? You do well. It said, the demons also believe and tremble. Isn't that remarkable? Ask every demon in existence, do you believe that there is one God? And they will say, yes, we believe in one God. And they worship the Lord Jesus in heaven. And when he was on earth, they fell at his feet and worshiped him as God the Son manifest in the flesh. I told you that demons were orthodox. And what do they believe? They believe only what is true. They know what is true. And therefore, you can believe what they say when they speak to Christ and when they manifest what is in their heart, what they know by experience when they see him on earth. And this is what is so startling. It says in John 1, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And as John the Baptist said, he said, there standeth one in the midst of you whom you know not. And so here is the Lord Jesus, a man among men, and no one recognized him. And even John the Baptist had to be given a sign to know for certain who the Son of God was, who the promised Messiah was. John the Baptist said, I was told this, upon whomsoever you see the Spirit descending and abiding, this is the Son of God. And John says, I have seen and I announce unto you that this is the Son of God. Now, without the Father proclaiming from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, these demons possessing human bodies, whenever the Lord Jesus comes near them, immediately they fall down and worship him and they say, you are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of the Most High God. You are the Son of God. Remarkable, because they know him. They have a comprehension about the incarnation as its future and as the outcome of Christ being manifest in the flesh. And they understand what is going to happen in the future because of their rejection, because they left their first estate. And it said, have you come to torment us before the time? And so understand that they believe and that they comprehend about the ages, that the world has certain stages and ages, and at times they are free to do what they want to do. But they know that the time is going to end. And Satan knows it more exactly, because in Revelation 12, when he's cast down to the earth, he says he knows that his time is short. He has not known how much time he has, but he knows that his time is going to terminate. And when he's cast out of heaven in Revelation 12, he's no more permitted to come as he has in the past, to approach the throne of God and to be the accuser of the brethren. He knows his time is short, and so do the demons. They say, have you come to torment us before the time? And so all that I've told you about demonology, all the things that they know, all the things that they say to Christ is orthodox. They speak infallibly. But all that they say to man is false, lies. When a demon speaks to Peter, it is a lie. It is a destructive force trying to do away with God's way of salvation. When demons speak to men, they are the ones that influence their minds and cause them to speak and do things, and they do not realize that they are influenced by an outside source, and yet they are the ones. It says that men speak the doctrines of demons. It says this in the first epistle of John, beloved, believe not all the spirits, but prove the spirits, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. What does it mean? It means that these evil spirits are inspiring false prophets to speak. And so when preachers that deny the Lord Jesus Christ speak, they are motivated, they are instructed by demons. So, the orthodoxy of demons, when they speak to Christ, yes. When they speak to you, they tell only lies. So, cast yourself upon God and pray that prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that you tell us these things about these creatures, that at the first, when you made them, they were good. Everything that you made at the first was good. We see, Father, how it has become evil. And we pray, our God, that we shall understand that though we cannot be possessed by these demons, our minds can be influenced by them. Even one who knows that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, even his mind can be told and influenced to think in certain ways. And so we pray that we shall live in the Word of God. We shall never take a step beyond it, that we shall believe all that the Scripture teaches. So bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.